Today's program has been brought to you by GreatBrewers.com, a social media marketing platform dedicated to promoting the world's great brewers and the beers they create. For more information, visit GreatBrewers.com. Broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn, you're listening to HeritageRadioNetwork.org.
Some of my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. A couple of weeks ago, the Beer Sessions Radio team went up to Cooperstown, New York for Brewery Omegang's annual beer festival, Belgian Comes to Cooperstown. We spent an entire weekend camping at the brewery and talking to the brewers, beer reps, chefs, bar owners, and beer fans that make this festival such an awesome event. Tonight we bring you part two of our two-part special taped on the grounds at Brewery Omegang, where we had the pleasure of tasting countless great beers both in the official tasting tent and out on the campgrounds where festival goers share some of their special treats. We hope you enjoy this unique episode of Beer Sessions Radio.
Makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind.
We were lucky to sit down with both the president of Brewery Omegang, Simon Thorpe, and Omegang's head brewer, Phil Leinhart, while we were up in Cooperstown. Through our conversations, we learned a lot about Omegang's expansion as well as their involvement in the anti-fracking movement that is gaining momentum in New York State. We caught up with Simon Thorpe just moments before the VIP dinner on Friday night. Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio with Heritage Radio Network. We're up in Cooperstown at the annual Belgium Comes to Cooperstown event at Omegang Brewery. I'm sitting with Simon Thorpe, the president of Omegang, and we're going to have a nice little conversation out here in the open air. We're sitting at the fire pit as the opening VIP dinner is about to start. This is an awesome festival, and Simon will join in on it. This is our third year recording with Beer Sessions Radio. We know that there's probably 500 of the top beer reps, and definitely New York City beer bars are here celebrating, along with people from Pennsylvania and New York. Simon, what's it like for you every year doing this festival?
Hey, Jimmy. Welcome back. It's great to have you back again. You know yourself, this festival is not the biggest in the country by any stretch. We cap this out at just under 3,000 people. It sells out in 4 minutes, and it's just built this beautiful reputation over the last 9 years for being not the biggest, but the most beautiful festival in the country, and we're real proud of that.
Well, you must be really proud of your roots. You were founded by Americans who are also importers of Belgium, Wendy and... Wendy and Don, now you're owned by a Belgian company.
Yeah, when Wendy and Don started the brewery, they were backed by a consortium of Belgian breweries, including the Mortgat family and Afligem and a couple of others. And then back in 1972, Michel Mortgat bought out the other investors and went Don and Wendy. And at that point, we put together the Duvel Mortgat brands, so Duvel and Maritzus and Schuf, Leafmans and so on, with the Omegang brands, and created a farmhouse brewery here in upstate New York, which is the basis for everything we do in the U.S.
Well, I remember when Omegang first started, I had an old restaurant in New York City, and the story behind it was so intriguing. And the story that there was some Belgian, you know, style beers and Belgian influence coming to New York, it took a while for it to sink into my head. But now that I'm up here, whenever I drive up here, I can't get away from it. I want to be here. I don't want to leave here. And I want to keep drinking beer.
There's something magical about this place. I don't know what it is, but, you know, people come here and, you know, wholesalers, retailers, they come and they go, yeah, we've seen breweries all around the country and we know what they look like. They come here somewhat cynical, and then there's something happens up here. It is this magic of upstate New York, and there's the beauty of Belgian style beers, which, you know, I mean, it's the top of the pyramid. And they come here, they experience what we've got on this 150 acre farmstead brewery in upstate New York, and there's something magic. It just gets into the beer and it gets into the way that people think about us, and they leave us friends.
Well, you've done so many things the last couple of years with the brewery. I'm sitting behind it right now. If you could see it, it's a big white building. It looks like an old farmhouse, maybe Amish looking, and these giant silos that are fermenters. I mean, how many years did it take to make these changes? Because when did you start? 2 years ago, right?
3 years ago now.
3 years ago.
Yeah, 3 years. I mean, in the last 3 years, we've doubled the size of the company, and we've invested about $14 million here, mainly in the packing hall and on the brew side, and improving the quality. So we built a world-class laboratory here. We've built automated packing bottling operation and put an automated kegging line in. So, you know, for a small brewery, that's really exciting stuff. I mean, you kind of get your hands on all this wonderful kit that. And we're blessed because Duvel sends us from Belgium all the stuff that they don't need anymore because they're always experimenting with new equipment. And it's great because they send us all the toys that they don't need anymore, and we get them all here. So that's been a wonderful thing in the last couple of years, and it's transformed the brewery. And as you say, I mean, we're adding big 360 fermenters here once every 6 months at the moment, and long may that continue.
Let's get a little serious talking about the local economy and you know, fans in the region. I had lunch in Sharon Springs today, and I mentioned I was coming to Own Gang, and the woman who worked there said, yes, she had been to a concert here. That's how she knows you. But getting a little deeper into the region, I know that you've talked about the importance of water to your beer. I know that this is one of the centers of anti-fracking movement in the state. We know in New York we've been involved. There's chefs from Marcellus. Your marketing guy, Larry Bennett, has been down to the city. There's been some events. What's your position officially on fracking in this county?
I mean, up here, fracking is it's a very divisive issue. And, you know, in the Reader's Digest version is that underneath the Marcellus Shale here, there are huge reserves of gas, and at some point they need to be developed. Right now, the technology to do it is not safe, and the basic issue that we've got with it is not that at some point you shouldn't develop it, but right now the technology that exists pollutes the water and the aquifers. And very few people know that here in upstate New York, we have pretty much in this country the most perfect water for making beer. Everyone thinks of kind of Rocky Mountain and all that stuff, but New York State water is about as pitch perfect as you could ever want for making beer. It's some of the finest water in the country, and no one knows that. It's one of the reasons we ended up starting here as a brewery. And our position is real simple. You can't make world-class beer with polluted water. And we've seen examples already. I mean, this isn't kind of some theory stuff. There are problems in Pennsylvania, in Wyoming, in Texas, where entire water courses have been polluted forever by fracking. And it's real simple. I mean, at some point you have to stick your head up and say, we're going to stand for something important. It's important for this community. And from that point of view, it's not that we're against gas drilling. We just want safe technology for it. And it ain't here yet. This stuff isn't going away. It's been here for 300 million years, and it ain't going away in a hurry. So let's take our time to make sure that we develop this correctly.
Well, we're really proud of you guys. And it's another, I think it makes something that makes you guys at Omega Gang stand out. Your commitment to water and the environment, and you know, so much of New York State agriculture is tied into that. So thank you.
It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind.
Hey, welcome to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're up here in Cooperstown at the Omen Gang Festival. Belgium comes to Cooperstown. It's Dave Broderick from Blind Tiger, Phil Leinhardt, the brewer from Omen Gang, and we're trying to find this guy, Luke Manson, who's bringing us beer. The fun part of coming to this festival is that every time you go to, there's some of the best beer that you ever have tried in your life. So, Dave, what beers have you had so far? You're really like the dean of this event.
I had the the Lagunitas Little Something Goose, Little Goozy, was freaking. That was really, really good. And then the Allagash, the Resurgence was really good too. I thought both of those were great. Oh, and the Berliner Weiss from Peekskill, Jeff O'Neill's beer.
Yeah, man, there's so many beers that we try up here. The new breweries coming up. I saw a brewery called Chatham And there's beers that I've Adirondack. There's breweries that I've never had before, and every year there's new breweries up here. Phil, what do you think about that? I mean, you're a brewer, but this is also like the coolest beer fest for new and up and coming breweries in the Northeast.
Yeah, I mean, it's I know we have some different breweries this year. We probably lost some breweries too with the New York laws, but it's a great venue, and I love. This is a great place to live, but beer choice wise, it's not the best to get a decent selection. I have to go to Albany, so especially at this event, I try to get out there and taste as much different stuff that I can't get locally, because I really like the different beers, and it's nice to know what everybody's doing.
All I know is that your job as brewer or brewmaster encompasses many things. I mean, Luke, what's your name? Luke Manson.
What's up? My name is Luke Manson.
What beer are we drinking?
We're drinking the Mission Dark Seas Imperial Stout.
Very nice.
Which, what, somebody brought in a growler?
Awesome, right? We brought it from the Blind Tiger in the growler, yeah.
So we're talking about brewers. So as job as brewer for Omegang, you're not just making beer. So do you oversee these things like digging trenches and wastewater?
I'm very, you know, we have a lot of great people here. We have a lot of great brewers, managers, quality control managers, new product manager. I'm very focused on the big picture right now. I instituted changes in the process, and people are following that. But my big thing this year is this wastewater plant. I've got to make sure that goes through on time and so forth. And sometimes it's kind of the catch-22 as you move up in a company. You're not always like working. I'm not on the floor turning valves. I've done that, in various jobs. But now I have to focus on the big picture, long view, and that's the way that happens sometimes.
So when you finish the wastewater treatment plant, what will your capacity be at that point?
Well, we'll be able to go up to with the current plant, with about 75,000 hectoliters per year. But we're building it in such a way that we can double it without too much work. And that's, when you're doing projects like that, we build everything with a view to the future. Like, we don't want to box ourselves into a corner. So you always build something with, like, to be able to expand it without too much effort, or able to do that easily.
And a hectoliter is how many barrels again?
Multiply a hectoliter by 8.852.
So it's
fairly close.
A
barrel's about 85% of a hectoliter.
So what this year? What was the innovative? Don't you have a program where a brewer gets to make something each year?
Yeah, I mean, we have the whole innovation program, where that's four special beers a year. And with Jason Parrish, who is our director of new products, he comes up with some of the ideas. I come up with the idea, like Beer de Hougomont was my beer. Other special beers, we're getting the brewers more involved, because we have a lot of talented people here, and it's something I really want to put forth, that people can develop their recipes. I mean, we may go through tweaks as we pilot brew the beers and test brew the beers, but it's great to be able to let these guys flex their wings a little bit.
And so the Beer de Garde was this year's with the lap. Okay, gotta go.
There you go. Yeah.
Was the Beer de Garde, was that the latest innovation?
It's the current one. It's out now, and that was originally my recipe, and I always love those beers. I love malt. I mean, some people are hopheads. I would say I'm more of a malt head, and so I love that style. A lot of different malts, fermented cooler, to accentuate the raw ingredients rather than the fermentation esters and higher alcohols and things like that. And then we aged it on oak and maple staves, which was a real expedition getting those into one of these tall tanks. Usually when you age on wood, on staves, you have a horizontal tank and you can just put them into the open manway and then close the manway and pump the beer in there. But with our tanks being all vertical, we had to build like a Lincoln Logs fence of these staves up in the cone of the fermenter. But we got it all in there. And it has a nice subtle wood character to it, not overpowering. It's a nice subtle woodiness to it.
Well, that sounds awesome. Phil, one more thing. Tell us your two favorite. We just did a Hop Chefs. It's your special food and beer pairing festival. We had a chef from Philly, D.C., New York, and Albany. What are your two favorite Omegang beers for pairing with food?
Ooh, that's a good question. I would probably say our Abbey Ale and Rare Voss. They're just... I like those beers... I like all our beers standalone, but I mean, those beers lend themselves. Abbey Ale pairs with a lot of different meat dishes, and the Rare Voss is a very food-friendly beer, I think, especially for like pub food, hamburgers, and things like that.
And they were both used today, actually,
they
in the
were,
Hop
yeah.
Chef pairing. New York chose the Abbey, and the guy who made the sauce. He was the guy who won, right? The sauce, the
George,
Philly guy.
George.
Yeah,
yeah,
he did
Rare
the Rare Voss.
Yeah. They got a great new program, Hop Chefs, Omegang, where they're owned by Belgian, brewing and Duvel and all this stuff. But anyways, food and beer pairings is kind of the next frontier for craft beer, and Omegang is one of the leaders, and they did the Hop Chef, and it's been great. But I just want to say thanks so much for listening in. It's Beer Sessions Radio.
Well, I cursed the God that popped up in my brain. I healed every subway stop.
So, you like good beer. Whether you're a craft beer pro or just had your first sip of an IPA, GreatBrewers.com is your number one beer resource on the internet. GreatBrewers.com bridges the gap between the world's great brewers and the consumers who enjoy their products. With so much information and misinformation out there, GreatBrewers.com focuses on education and leaves no stone unturned. Take the Great Beer Test on their website and browse through an extensive product catalog. Download their mobile Beer Cloud app, which includes a GPS beer finder, a beer sommelier, and descriptions for over 5,000 different brews. What are you waiting for? Back up that passion for craft beer with some solid information and education. Visit GreatBrewers.com today.
One of the great attractions of Belgium Comes to Cooperstown is the opportunity to taste beers from small regional brewers that you might not have the chance to have in your area. We spoke to two such brewers, Bill Herlicka of White Birch Brewing in New Hampshire and Sean Lawson of Lawson's Finest Liquids in Vermont.
One of the newer small breweries from New England, Bill Herlicka, has a White Birch Brewing up in New Hampshire. He's here exhibiting under the main tent at the Omegang Fest. And Bill, how are you? Nice to see you.
Yeah, it's great to see you guys as well. Pleasure being here. It's our third year at Belgium Comes Cooperstown. Kind of wild to think it's 3 years. People ask me, how long have you been in business? I'm like, 3 years. They're like, how many years have you been up here? I'm like, 3 years. I think it really kind of speaks to Omegang's openness to the craft beer scene. And frankly, why would they worry about competition? There is no one that can replicate what they have here. This is an amazing scene, an amazing weekend. I would do it, except you'd be on pavement, bordering fences and houses. It really wouldn't be the same. But this is a lot of fun. You know, and like I said, it's our third year being here.
Now, what beers did you bring to the festival?
Sure. Under the main tent, we have our Belgian-style pale ale. We have our Hooksed Ale, which is a Belgian IPA. We have our Hop to Wit, which is our new summer seasonal. It's a Belgian wit with pink peppercorns and grapefruit peel. And then we brought our Triple IPA, which is a Belgian triple and American IPA hop hybridization that we did with Martha's Exchange of Nashua, New Hampshire. They're a brew pub that's been around for 18 years.
Say that again. What's so cool is that Bill just said, we have the Triple IPA, and he handed it to me, but it's not open, and thus the fest. Bill, you're gonna have to open your own beer out here. You know, we're not in studio.
No, we got.
All right. We live high. You know, the high life at Roberta's in Bushwick in Brooklyn is where we usually record. We're actually on a field in upstate New York. So, but I want to know, how do you guys start? We've interviewed before, but I'm still amazed that you can be a small brewer and get started and make your own beer.
Well, since we last spoke, I was in a 3,400 square foot building, and we had doubled to take over that space. We got running full tilt and realized we needed way more space. We moved in September of last year to a 10,000 square foot building. It happened to be a former used car dealership. The beauty of it is it came with bay doors and floor drains already cut. And, you know, it's a lot of room to grow. It's not really what you might consider an ideal brewery, but it has lots of parking for events. And did I mention it has floor drains already cut and permitted? That's not an easy thing to do.
Are you American?
I'm sorry?
Are you American?
Yes.
So do you have to deal with the wastewater issues?
We were already a known entity for 2 years in the town of Hooksett. When we moved from one part of the town to the other, everyone signed off on us. We've worked hard to build good relationships with our town so that they understand who we are, what we're doing, how we go about doing what we're doing, because we are a highly regulated industry, and if you think you're going to do things without conversations and involving the different bodies that govern what we do, you're going to quickly find the answer is no. And if you go down that route, you don't get an easy recovery from the first no. So we work closely with the town. The town sees us as an asset to the traffic and the business in the area. So it's been a nice move for us. In fact, I'm excited to say, here we grow again. We bought a 15-barrel Bright tank. We have a new glycol system. I've burned up 8 drill bits trying to drill into concrete. I am the worst guy at doing it, but you know, this is how it gets done. We're running the glycol lines to the Bright tank so we can force carbonate and grow our kegging business. You know, as we've started 3 years ago, 15 to 20 gallons a batch was a lot of fun, and it was all bottles, because bottles is what I knew. Bottles is how we started. As we've grown, people like the beers, but they say, when are we going to see you on draft? We want you on draft more. We tried naturally carbonating kegs. We've listened to back history of Omegang, Allagash, other breweries that shared their stories about their forays into kegging. And so the consensus answer is you got to force carbonate to be able to do it properly, do it reliably and efficiently. We have a keg washer. We have a Bright tank. We've got all these great toys, and we're about 10 days from having it all running. It's a really exciting time. It's a really crazy, hardworking time. But, you know, this is brewing at its basis, trying to grow, trying to understand how to grow, listening to your customers. And we're fortunate that our customers say, get us more draft now. And we're finding ways to do it.
Bill, that's great. I mean, when we first had you, I loved your bottle condition bottles. And you, yes, it's true. Your kegs were, you know, not as predictable as people, or acceptable as people had hoped. And I know you've been working on that. One of the beers I had today that I really liked, was it the Hop to Wit?
Yes.
That was a new beer for you, right?
Yes. Well, you know, when we started small, we made a lot of different beers. I think we've released over 70 beers in over 3 years. Special projects, collaborations, you know, we've run the gamut. I like to say I have more ideas than I have fermenters in time. But as we've grown, we've also listened to our customers, and, you know, draft is a huge thing. It's been a huge request for the last couple years. They're also asking us to be a little more predictable to help sell the brand. You know, they want 1 to 3 flagships. They want seasonals. They like a special beer, but, you know, when you grow out of a specialty beer store and you get accepted into, like, a major mainstream channel like Trader Joe's. I don't know if you guys know Trader Joe's, but, you know, that's, like, a heck of a store. Trader Joe's loves our Hooksett Ale. I mean, they're just going nuts with our Hooksett Ale, which is exciting. But it's also a little, like, eye-opening for me that one place can sell that much beer. And so as we've looked at what we're doing, we're trying to get to a more predictable, streamlined seasonals. We still have some special projects like the collaboration beers. We're working on an idea with Sap House Meadery of Center Ossipee, New Hampshire, for a Belgian stout using blueberries in the honey and maple syrup. I can't wait for that. The test batch was phenomenal. But, you know, when we look at how do we get from where we've been to the next stage, you know, focusing on beers as dedicated draft, going to natural carbonation. For example, I learned a lot about CO2 and regulators and bars that either have a regulator for every line, like Blind Tiger, and bars that have one regulator that might be overworked for like 20 lines. And the fact that a naturally conditioned keg, no one wants to, you know, make an adjustment to make the beer work right because it's a naturally conditioned beer. They want no thought. They want to click it and go. And so it was a learning thing for us, and, you know, we've listened, and we're responding to that by adding this equipment to be able to, you know, give our customers what they want. I think, you know, it'd be safe to say any business you want to profile, there's a maturation process to that business. And when you're in brewing, just like restaurants, just like bars, you know, hopefully 5 years later you're smarter than you were when you started up. You know, we can all look back and say, man, when I first opened, God, I can't believe we made it through what we made it through. I think what you're going to see in the brewing industry is a lot of what, like, we're going through, which is stepping into the next steps of more mainstream, where you've got to be able to bring on some of those tools. You've got to be able to go to more mainstream techniques to be able to get to that next level of customer. There's always a place for a small batch brewer. There's always someone looking for a growler or something made small somewhere nearby. There's always room for Led Zeppelin. You know?
That's our awesome closeout ever. Yeah. Daniel Lanigan from Lord Hobo just came and, like, in his, this is about the Omegang Festival. He had a transistor radio in his breast pocket.
It's all about control.
Yeah, this is so cool. But hey, hey,
there is no control.
I'll tell you what, we're here on Beer Sessions Radio, Heritage Radio Network. And coming up September 8th at Rockaway Beach, Barrels and Kegs. It's going to be a cool New York Regional Beer Festival. Check it out, GrapeBrewsSeal.com, our sponsor, and GrapeBrewers.com. It's been great. We're up here at Cooperstown. Thank you so much. Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're up here in Cooperstown at the Omegang Beer Fest. Belgium comes to Cooperstown. Last year's festival, we were here. The number one beer, according to Serious Eats, was Sean Lawson's collaboration with the brewery. Sean, tell us about that beer, because that was awesome.
And you're here today.
Ah, right on. Well, thanks, Jimmy. That was the Acer Quercus, and it was a great honor to head out to California and brew with those guys at the brewery. Tyler King, the head brewer out there, and Patrick Rue, the owner, was a great experience working with them. And we used a little bit of maple from Vermont that we shipped out, and some American oak to put together a dark, sort of spicy beer with rye and some smoke character, some house smoke malt, and it's aging nicely. I still have a few cases sitting around, but it was a lot of fun to brew with those guys out in California. And we had the maple is what brought us together, because they do some maple beer. I do some maple beer in Vermont, and I had suggested, why don't we do a maple beer together? And they loved the idea. So it's always a thrill to get together with other brewers and make something new.
Well, it's one thing I want to talk about is that what's exciting about festivals like this is meeting other brewers and all that, but how do you end up doing a collaboration? I mean, you're making beer up in Vermont, and these guys, the brewery, are out in San Diego. I mean, how do you negotiate that, and how do you decide to do it? I can do it in Vermont, or I can...
Long Beach.
Long Beach. I decided to do it there. So tell us about the collaboration process.
Well, every collaboration I've done is a little different. That particular one was a year in planning, because they're on the West Coast and I'm on the East Coast. So there were a lot of details to put together, shipping, freighting out the maple syrup, which we did in 55-gallon drums from Vermont. And we kicked around a recipe via email. So there was a lot of emails that went back and forth, some phone calls. We talked about a recipe. We knew we wanted to do a maple beer. and we just played around with different ideas.
Any awards for Maple Beer?
Yeah, well, a couple years back at the 2010 World Beer Cup, we had both won an award, they in the experimental category for their 100% Brett Autumn Maple. They won a gold in the experimental category, and I had won a bronze in the specialty category for the Maple Triple. And so that sort of gave us the idea to get together and do a maple beer. And so it was a year from there, going to the next Craft Brewers Conference in San Francisco, that gave me the opportunity to be out on the West Coast, so I didn't have to make a trip just to make the beer. So a lot of emails, phone calls, kick around ideas, and formulate a recipe, and then we kicked around the recipe a bit and came up with a final formulation on it, and brewed a bunch of it over a couple of days, and they were good enough to distribute some up to Vermont, where they don't currently, so we got a taste of the action, so to speak. It was great.
Well, it's really fun, and I talked to you last night, and what I'm most excited about is, so you said you've expanded a little bit. You're a nano brewer. I've only ever tried your beer at this festival in Cooperstown. So what's new, and how are you expanding, and how can you expand, and what does that mean if you're so small?
Well, I always put quotations or marks around expansion because we're still in the same space, but I did upgrade my equipment, and I put in a 7-barrel brewery to replace the 1-barrel that we had. So that enables me to make a lot more beer relative to a 1-barrel system, but it's still a tiny, like a relatively tiny amount of beer for the market. Right now we're on track to do maybe like 400 to 425 barrels a year. So there's not a lot to go around, so we focus on a small number of accounts because they go through quite a bit in, you know, every week. So we have about 12 places that carry the beer between just a few bottle stores and about 10 or 11 draft accounts. And so that was really, I only added a couple of accounts between a 1-barrel and a 7-barrel system, because at 1-barrel I was not even touching the demand at the existing places, which was hard sometimes and stressful because it would keep running out, and so that creates a problem when for the retailer or the bar, when they've got a line open or they want to carry the beer but it just keeps running out. So now it's really nice that we got it to a steady place where it's on tap all the time at the accounts that have it on tap. Sometimes they can have several beers on tap, but the bottles move a lot faster than the draft, it seems. That's a more bottomless market. It's hard to keep the stuff on the shelf, which is great. And for my future plans right now, we're just planning to stay small and stay local in Vermont. The model that we have right now is working pretty well. And I've got young kids, and the brewery is right by my house, so I can walk to work. And I love that situation. So
I think it's 25 feet from your front door.
Yeah, it's about 25 feet from one building to the other. So it's a good situation. There's a lot of long hours. I don't really have any employees. I got one helper that comes up to do bottling with me one day a week. So otherwise, I do pretty much everything myself.
Sean, what town, what's the official location of your brewery?
We're in Warren, Vermont, which everybody asks, well, where's Warren? We're right in the middle of the state, Mad River Valley, near Mad River Glen.
Burlington, Waterbury?
It's south of Waterbury, about a half an hour south of Waterbury, about an hour from Burlington, like smack dab in the middle of the state.
Yeah. What I want to know is that you're a real small brewer, you're a nano brewer. How do you make such good beer? I mean, what do you do that's different from other breweries?
Freshness is key for us for the styles of beer that I'm doing. Certainly some of the stronger beers, the higher alcohol beers like the Imperial styles, are built to last, like the Imperial Stout can last a while. But for most of the beers, we want to get them out fresh and have people drink them fresh. And so being on such a small scale, we're able to get beer out and have it consumed within generally a few, like 2 weeks of when it's packaged into bottles or into kegs, unless it's a stronger style that's meant for aging. Like the Maple Triple is a beer that we sit on for a whole year before it's even bottled. So freshness is really key, and just attention to detail. A focus on like making the highest quality beer we can. So I never really look at expense on a beer as a factor when I'm developing a recipe or deciding what malts or hops or how much to use. It's really about getting the end effect, and the cost is what it is, and accordingly the prices are a more premium beer. It's a higher priced beer because we really spare no expense on ingredients.
I think you've actually figured out a way to get your personality into a bottle, because you're definitely one of the funnest guys around and up in VT, and somehow you get that into your beer. I mean, it's so funny because I'll go to festivals and you'll be there, and you know a lot of great brewers are there, and you've commented on this, and I poured for you 1 year at Vermont Brewers Fest, and there's like a herd when they open the thing up and they come thundering around the corner to build up that line, and it's like freakish.
Yeah,
it's scary. Like they come running at you, and there's something, you know, there's something about your, it's like a very, it's great beer, but somehow you get your personality in there too.
But on being the brewer, I can't put my finger quite on what it is that attracts all those people to the beer, other than I know I'm trying to make the best beer I can. We keep it fresh, we keep it high quality, and I love my hops.
it's that passion for hops.
Yeah.
Somehow that gets in there.
You know, but it's not just hoppy beers that we do.
No, I know.
Like the maple triple is the big award winner for us, and the Imperial Stout goes far too.
The top beers that you serve today at the Ilmenging Fest.
Today is a beer that I do just for the middle of summer. It's a beer that I actually created for this festival 3 years ago. It's called Session in the Rye. I use a Belgian yeast, sort of inspired by the saisons of the world, but I did rye and wheat notes and American hopping on it. So it's got a real floral nose from the hops, but also the yeast profile works with the hops, and the spiciness of the rye sort of plays into it. And on a day like today where you're sweating and it's super hot, it's only 4.5% alcohol, it works very well.
And tell them about the beers that we are lucky enough to have at the campsite.
One that's even lower alcohol, so even better for today, is the Three Penny Especial. That's another collaboration, very different process than the brewery, where the guys at the Three Penny Tap Room over in Montpelier, a fabulous beer bar, they just added a restaurant, and my beer's on tap there.
Yeah, tonight.
Yeah, it's here at the campsite. Yeah, you bet. And
just to make everybody jealous,
those guys, posed the idea to me, like, hey, we really want to come out and make a beer with you. One of the three owners is a brewer. He's not currently working at a brewery because they're running the Three Penny Tap Room, but someday would like to do a brewery and has worked in other breweries. And so we kicked around a recipe. It only took us a couple weeks to put together. They really wanted to do a low alcohol, highly hot beer, sort of what they call the session IPA. So it's 3.7%, and we call it the Three Penny Especial American Session Ale. So it's really hopped up, but it's light on the body. Tried to balance it out, but it's got a pretty good bite to it from the hops, but it all works. It's really refreshing for a day like today. We also have the Chinookered IPA, which is one of my regular my old recipes, which is a real chewy sort of good malt backbone to it, and sort of aggressively hopped American IPA, about 7%.
Well, Sean, you know, we're really so excited to be here every year and try your beers, and we're looking forward to your grow. And hopefully next year I will come up to Vermont, and I want to do a thing called Brewer Ask Brewers. We also have Bill Herlicka from White Birch Brewing in New Hampshire, and he's sitting on stage with us listening to you. Bill, do you have any questions for Sean about his brewing process or anything like that? I know you do, so come on.
No, you know, it's been interesting because when I first started my business and I looked around at what the marketplace was there for brewers that were really small scale, there weren't any. And then there was this one Lawson's Finest in Vermont. And I think we traded an email or two back and forth, couple of good points, certainly appreciative. I think the thing that was the best that Sean said at the time was, do what you're passionate about and make that your brewery. So that was pretty cool.
Tom,
I think, when you're looking at collaborations. I've done a couple of festivals in Vermont, and the liquor commission in that state is severe.
We're going to sign off here. We'll say thanks so much for coming out to Cooperstown. Thanks for listening to Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network.
Sat there and cried, and
aside from the beer, food is another great attraction of the BCTC weekend. Everyone is strutting their stuff, from the chefs at the Hop Chef competition and the five-course beer pairing dinner at the VIP event, to the various grills, smokers, and even vendors out on the grounds. We spoke with Hop Chef contender and Blind Tiger Alehouse chef Tommy Harder over the weekend, as well as Captain Lawrence brewer Scott Ficaro, who is notorious for roasting and sharing a whole pig each year. We caught up with Scott at his campsite to talk pigs and talk about his recent brewery expansion.
Hey, we're here on Heritage Radio Network, Beer Sessions Radio. Welcome to the show up in Cooperstown. And we're here with Scott Ficaro from Captain Lawrence Brewery. What's great about Scott is he's a homegrown guy from Westchester, New York, and his brewery has just expanded. But every year that I've been here, he comes up to Cooperstown and he's roasting a pig. And right now I'm eating like some of the skin and fat.
It's the primo cut, Jimmy. We give you the best.
Tell us about, you come over here and all you do is you make a pig and cook it.
Well, you know, I mean, the first year I came up here, I had so much fun, and I said to myself, what is it missing? You know, you got a lot of beer, you got a lot of good people, you got all the good stuff. I said, you know what, the only thing that could probably make this better is a whole hog. And so that second year up, I just told Farmer John, the guy who takes our spent grain at the brewery, I said, I need a pig, and away we went. Every year we've gone a little bigger, and this year we had a 230 pounder. We had to cut the legs off just to fit it on the cooker. It was so big.
Wow. So I'm just chewing away at the skin and the fat delicious. And everything. It's awesome. But you know, you're like a great guy. I mean, you know, a few years ago New York wasn't really about beer. And now it's like at New York Tap, there's new small breweries winning. And you guys expanded. I mean, you're in Pleasantville. Tell us about your new brewery and what went into it, because it's an amazing story.
Yeah, so we moved about 4.5 miles down the road from Pleasantville to Elmsford. And it took, it was about a year in the works. But, you know, it was a big pain in the ass. But we're happy we're there. We got all our stuff in the building. And now we got room to, you know, drive the forklift around without knocking things over. We got room to barrel age some more beers. We got, you know, room just to, we added 12-ounce bottles. So it's been a huge, you know, huge undertaking, but a very happy undertaking. So
I heard that, you know, that every brewer has their own style, but I heard that you're actually the guy that actually does the technical work. Like, if you, for a long time, if you had to work on your, you know, whatever, lines or, you know, something, you do work
I'm the full maintenance. I do maintenance. There's nothing I like more, actually, than getting my hands a little dirty and getting in there and, you know, turning wrenches or brazing copper or doing whatever. I mean, that's kind of how I got into it, you know. I always just thought the whole process was just intriguing.
I mean, it's fascinating to me because when you first opened, you had, in Pleasantville, you had the small brewery.
Sure, and everyone me thought and one other guy.
That was the coolest thing in the world. And first of all, what's there now? Because you guys just moved.
Nothing. It's empty.
All right, so now you moved, and I want to go up. I want to take the train from New York.
So you got to stop in North White Plains or Tarrytown, and you got to hop a cab. It's probably like a $10 cab ride. So unfortunately, you got to pay for Metro North and a cab now. But we think you'll be happy when you get there because we have an outdoor patio. We got a bocce court. We got a huge tasting room. We have food now, meat and cheese plates. We got 12 taps instead of 5 taps. So
how does
I mean,
it work? As a brewery, how does it work for you? I mean, can you do you? What do you do? People go to the brewery, and what do? They can fill their growlers, or they get tastings?
They can fill their growlers. They can pay $2 for a tasting
party.
Cup, and they can taste all day. They can buy pints of beer now. If they don't want to wait for a tasting glass, they can just buy a 12-ounce beer. They can sit outside, play bocce. They can sit in the sun and get a tan. They can
get a
plate of prosciutto and mortadelle and sit there and eat some cheese. I mean, they do whatever they want. It's beautiful. We love
it. It's a fun place.
Yeah, now it's a lot more fun. Pleasantville was great. It gave us our start, but now we're in a place where it's, you know, room to you know, spread your wings, if you will. And there's air conditioning.
And what about your beers? Everyone's been bringing me like these somewhat sour beers in bottle.
Sure.
So are you making more and different beers now than ever before?
We're literally doing a new beer every week. The new pilot system we have, 7 barrels of beer, you get about 14 kegs out of it. Every week, something new. So it's a blast. We're having a blast.
So what beers did you bring to the festival here in Cooperstown.
Up here we brought the Extra Gold and the St. Vincent's Double, which we've been doing for years. And then we brought the Hops and Roses, which is a new sour golden ale, Asian oak barrels with hibiscus, rose hips, and elderflowers. Hops and Roses.
Wow. What I love about you is that you're establishing, you know, yourself as a New York brewery, but also at the festival here. Let's open this up.
Oh, yeah.
He's got this smoker, and he brings a pig every year.
Because you need, you know, man can't live on beer alone. You need to eat, too.
So Scott and I right now are just picking off meat, and other people will do that. It's nice pork.
What it's all about.
Yeah. And there's other people here, like, what's cool? And Brooklyn Brewery's here later. They're going to do their own sing-along music night.
Nice.
But I think you really stand out for your beer and your food here.
I mean, who doesn't like pig?
And don't close that up, Scott.
No,
Come on. Keep eating. And then, you know, we're on radio. We're not on TV, so...
Nobody needs to see what's actually happening. We can eat and talk all we want.
But we're eating like a whole pig.
Yeah, let me get some more of that in my mouth. Delicious. Diagnosis delicious.
And it's one of our favorite pigs. Oh!
Her name was Loretta. She was 3 years old, 300 pounds on hoof, and she's delicious.
So where'd you get your pig?
Hemlock Hill Farms up in Cortland Manor, New York. Farmer John DeMaria has been taking our grain since we started. And we get hogs from whenever we can.
So the whole system is what? You get spent grain?
Spent grain to a farmer? He feeds his cows with it. Cows, chickens, goats. Brings us meat all the time. And then every now and again we get some pork. Because he gives the pigs the yeast. And they literally slurp down the yeast, get drunk, live a good life, and then we eat them.
Wow. Well, the big story about you guys is that you're making some type of sour beer, or what are the new initiatives you're doing at your new brewery?
Well, we got more room, so more barrels.
Are you doing sour beer?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And how are you doing that? In what, like, format?
Bottled and draft, aged in wine barrels for the most part. The Hops and Roses that we poured today was one of those new beers. And, just having more room allows you to have more fun, really.
Dude, it's so awesome, man. So good to talk to you.
Jimmy,
it's one thing I love about coming up here to Cooperstown. There's brewers, there's home brewers, there's guys hanging out. We're going to make a toast and cheers. Thank you so much to everybody. GreatBrewers.com, our sponsor, and at Beer Sessions Radio. We'll see you next week on Heritage Radio Network. Thank you.
Cheers, Jimmy.
Thanks, man.
Pleasure as always.
I'll see you some pig.
Absolutely. Eat up.
Hey, welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're up here in Cooperstown, New York at the Omegang Belgian Comes to Cooperstown Festival. One of the aspects of this awesome fest that we're here drinking beer, eating food, is that they have some chefs doing competitions called Hop Chefs. You know, F Top Chefs. It's Hop Chefs. And Omegang's been sponsoring it for the last few months. They did a regional competition in Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., Albany. And they brought in a chef from last year who won another food event they did, Tommy Harder, the Blind Tiger Chef. Tommy, you're in Hop Chefs today. You didn't win. But tell us about the event and what it was like, because you made really good food, and it was four really good chefs making beer and food pairings. Tell us about the experience.
Well, like you said, I actually did this last year, and the competition was totally different. This one, we came in, and like you said, the other chefs actually won a competition in some other town to actually be able to come up and come compete. And I was kind of thrown in the last minute kind of thing, I feel like, because I won last year. But to compete, we could do basically whatever we wanted. Just had to take one Omegang beers and pair it in some way and make a great dish. And the chefs that came up here, they made some amazing dishes. Like, every one of them, I was just, I was surprised. I was like, oh, wow, I didn't even think of that.
So, what are the chefs did you like? I mean, I know there was some guys paired with Hennepin.
Yeah.
Someone did a crab cake. Tell us about the other chefs and the actual dish that you made.
Yeah. Actually, to tell you the experience of today, actually, I had a great time with... the man from D.C., the one from D.C., we were there all day. He would make the crab cakes that I thought were really great. We were having a great time together.
Jeff
we just
Eng. Jeff Eng won
Jeff, that's right.
The D.C. regional, you know, top hop chefs competition. He was here today.
The one actually I liked a lot was, what did they call it? It was a Hop Over the Garden. James from Albany.
Jamie Ortiz, from
Albany. Everything he had layers of things going on, and two different little condiments basically going together, the corn cake, the braised rabbit. I thought it was excellent. I really thought it was really excellent. And what I actually made, I tried to take the Abbey Ale, which I thought was going to be something very bold, because I know everybody else maybe kind of maybe like had a Hennepin or Rare Voss.
What was your dish, Tom?
And I took the Abbey Ale, and I made actually a duck cake. And so I took basically the idea of a crab cake, but I braised the duck legs in the Abbey Ale, and then turned around and made that braising liquid into a mole sauce, a mole rojo. And then I paired it with a pickled fennel, a fig and foie gras mousse, duck cracklings, and a little citrus shaved orange zest. So it was definitely a very complex dish. It was a lot of things going on. And I had a great team, actually. This is the first time. Last year, I was by myself, basically. But I had a couple of other chefs that came up here to help me out. One from Whataburger here in Vermont is going to open up pretty soon. A burger joint. Yeah, Whataburger.
What'd you call it? Whataburger?
Whataburger. I'm sorry, that's actually from a movie, yeah.
Whataburger?
But, I mean, like, I had a great team, and we had a great time actually today. This is the first time I actually had a lot of fun cooking in a tent, sweating the whole entire time.
Yeah, Tommy, I thought that was the perfect dish for a 100-degree day.
Yeah.
Foie gras and duck.
Oh, very rich, yeah. No one's sweating already.
No, I was like,
a little spice.
I was in there. I was actually pretty cool, and I ate that, and it raised my temperature about 105 degrees.
Well, Tommy, I'll give you the backstory. I was a judge, Jimmy Carbone, Jimmy's number 40. I was a judge for the Hop Chefs today.
Yeah.
And I will say, I liked yours the best. I mean, it was the duck, whatever, and it was spicy, but somehow the Omegang Abbey Ale really, like, paired with it well. And I think everyone said, yes, Omegang Abbey is a good beer to pair with. Yeah. So did they tell you to pair the beers, or did they tell you to cook with beers? What was the focus of the event today?
No, actually, they gave it was like a five different criteria where there was to pair, to contrast. Another one was to use the beer. Another one was to mimic the flavors. And the last category was to experiment with. And what that was, it was like, that just basically opened a lot of doors of saying, like, is it going to be a contrast? Is it going to be a mimic? Is it going to be, what are you going to do? You can cook with a beer and it could be totally different where you don't even know the beer is there. And so this actually, I took this as like an opportunity to, I took the last category as experiment. I cooked it with it, I mimicked it, I tried to take and dissect every flavors of the beer and put it into a dish that would also pair with the beer as well.
And I have to say, it was the beer really... It was the one dish I thought that really complemented, you know, the beer complemented the dish and vice versa. It augmented it. The rest of them were good pairings, but it didn't make it into something else.
And I think because this is an Omegang event, it's a BCTC, and the Omegang beer is what is the, you know, the focus. So I wanted to take the beer and make the food basically heighten all the great flavors of the beer. I mean, it's a great beer, so why not make a dish that's savory, has the richness, whatever, that contrast, everything that beer could do, and pair it, but something that it's, you know, has a little more body. It's not liquid.
Being out here at you know, I call it Omegang Fest, but it's Belgium Comes to Cooperstown. You know, how many beers can I try in, you know, 2 days? Dave knows he can try a lot. Last year we had our Earthbred brought out a special Ray Dieter beer. Today my favorite beer was from South Carolina, a Goza. And here's the woman who brought it. Tell us about the beer and why you brought it and the name of the beer and all that stuff.
Well, this is a great segue talking about food and beer pairings, because a Goza is a traditional salt beer. It's actually brewed with salt, and it's tart. It's got a lot of dimension and flavor, and it pairs really well with a lot of savory dishes. It can even contrast sweet dishes.
What's your name?
My name is Amy.
And where are you from?
I'm from Dartmouth, Massachusetts.
So what beer did you bring us that I love so much?
I brought a Goza from Westbrook Brewing in Mount Pleasant, South Carolina. It's a 4%, again, like I was saying, salt beer. And it's just a very light, drinkable, refreshing style that has been fantastic in the higher temperatures that we've been experiencing. And, you know, it's a style that is underappreciated. It's not brewed a whole lot, but when it is and it's done right, it can be absolutely incredible. So it's been a real pleasure sharing it, knowing that a lot of people probably have not had this beer, particularly, and beers from Westbrook in general, because they're a new brewery on the scene. They've been cranking out beer for about a year and a half, 2 years, and it's nice to introduce a lot of people to, you know, a brewery that's really moving and shaking.
One thing that is so special about this fest is that this beer wasn't entered into competition. This beer wasn't in the, you know, main tent of beers. This is a beer that one of our enthusiasts brought, and all of us are drinking it, hanging out. And, you know, this is one of the most special events in here. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
I love it.
Thank
the
you,
Goza
Jimmy.
From South Carolina.
Cheers, buddy.
Is this what you have right in front of you?
This is
may
the Goza.
May I taste it one more time?
You absolutely
right.
May.
The barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me...
Thank you for tuning in to Beer Sessions Radio. We'd like to thank our sponsors at greatbrewers.com and our friends at the Good Brew Seal who helped to make this podcast possible. In addition, thank you to Brewery Omegang for being such open and gracious hosts, and to our guests Simon Thorpe, Phil Linehart, Dave Broderick, Bill Herlicka, Sean Lawson, Tommy Harder, and Scott Ficarro. Also thanks to Brie O'Connor, Aaron Fairbanks, and Luke Manson for technical support, and our hometown Brooklyn team, Jack Inslee and Joe Galarraga at the Heritage Radio Network. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on Beer Sessions Radio.
In some of my songs, I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Heritage_Radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.